saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters of the sea, and let the fowl be multiplied in the earth." And the evening and the morning was the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now turn over to chapter 2, and we're just going to be looking at two verses there. Verses 7, 8, and 9, well, three verses. Starting in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct in this message, that everything that's said and done will be for your honor and glory. I love you. I just thank you so much for your word that we have, that we can see some of the hard topics in life, and we can take and look at them, and we can see what your word says. And we just pray now that you'll guide and direct in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Sanctity of Life. Sanctity of Life. This is February is Family Month, and I thought that I would take and start where everything began. And I've been all my messages have been written at least a month in advance from where, you know, when I preach them. So this wasn't written just because of the idiots in New York and Virginia and their rulings there, but I had this all done. Pretty much before then, I made a couple changes in it, but other than that, this has been written over a month ago, and next week's message is already done, the week after is done, the week after that is done, and I'm into March now, and so March is finances, so if you want to take and figure out a way that you can become a millionaire, you need to be here in March, and I'll give you the formula for that. But you know, with the month being family, in our theme, Hold Fast, I thought that we should look a little bit at where life began and where it begins. But what is life? Webster's 1828 dictionary gives the definition: the present state of existence, the time from birth to death. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, it says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable." You know, life of man seldom exceeds 70 years. Our life very seldom exceeds 70 years, because the Bible says in Psalms 90, verse 10, it says, "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years, yet their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." You know, we need to realize that our life expectancy is only 70 years. However, some of us will live longer than that. Some of us will not. And, you know, I just had my 65th birthday. I'm going, wow, I've got 5 years to go, amen? But, you know, as we recall, when God made man, he made him to live forever, didn't he? You know, God made man. We read that God made man in his own image. God made man in the image of him. Now, what is God's image? God's image is eternal, sinless, and perfect. So here we see that God made Adam and Eve in his own image. He made them immortal. I mean, they could live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But man always has a better idea, doesn't he? And they decided that they would take of the tree of knowledge, and they sinned, and they started to decay. They started to die. You know, there are many who believe that we live for 70 years and that's the end of it. But we know the Bible, don't we? We know that 70 years is just the start of life. I mean, 70 years is nothing, you know, to eternity. Amen. You know, many people say, well, yeah, but you die, you're put in the ground, and that's it. No, it's not. That's just the start. It depends on where you're going to spend eternity in order to go from there. You know, many have been told that they may never have children, or they maybe have never had children. But you know, when does life start? When does life start? Conception. Well, you know what? Biologically, life starts the very moment the sperm and the egg meet together, and you have that, and the cell starts splitting, and you get a human being. You may say, well, I don't believe that. Well, let's take a look at what the Bible says, shall we? Because I don't believe it either. Oh, no, preacher! I'm going to show you why. We've got a lot of scripture that I'm going to be going through today. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At a time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Let me ask you something. How old was Sarah at this time? 90 years old. She was almost as old as I am, or as old as I feel. But listen, she was 90 years old. How many ladies do you know have ever had a baby at 90 years old? I know none. How old was Abram? 100 years old. Well, guys, would you like to be a new daddy at 100 years old? I don't even want to be one at 65, let me tell you. But, you know, here we see that God promised Sarah a child. What did he say? He said, by this time next year, you're going to have a child. How long does it take to have a child? 9 months. Sarah wasn't even pregnant yet. She was not even expecting anything yet. Yet God said, by this time next year, you're going to have a child. Now, in Judges chapter 13, verse 5, it says, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. Here we see a woman being told that she was going to have a son. You're going to have a son. And he's going to be a Nazarite. And he's going to be great in Israel. She wasn't pregnant yet. And yet she was told she was going to have a son. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, behold, or before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God told Jeremiah what? He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before your mother and father ever came together, I knew you. Not only did I know you, but I set you apart from everybody else, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Wow. Think about that for a minute. God knew they were going to be born before they were ever conceived. Let's keep going. In Psalm 71:6, David said, by thee have I been hidden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually in thee. Psalms 22:9-10 says, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou dost make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. You know, David knew that it was God who created him. You know, it was God ordained time for David to be born. Now, we need to realize that God knew before David was ever born that David was going to be the second king of Israel. Did you know that? He knew that. God knew that he was going to take and be the second king of Israel. He knew that David was going to be a great king. He knew that he was going to be the greatest king that ever walked in Israel, that ever followed God. He knew that. Let's keep going. David was a man of God. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1. It says, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. God called Isaiah into service out of the womb. Man, I'll tell you what, I cannot understand where people get their thinking nowadays. After all, it's not man who creates something, it's God. And when we take something that God has started to form away, that's bad. Life starts when God knows that we are going to be conceived. You know, we need to realize that even Mary, when God came to her and told her that she was going to conceive and have a baby, and it was going to be by the Holy Spirit. You know, let's face it. Here's Mary, she's just a teenager, and God comes to her and says, hey, you're going to have a baby, and his name is going to be called Jesus. Wait a minute, hold it. I've never been with a man. How can this happen? Isn't that what she said? What did God say? Well, you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. You're going to have a child. Think about that. Yeah, I'll tell you what, people don't understand God. They don't understand God's power. They don't understand what God can do. But what has happened to life? What has happened to life? Exodus chapter 1, verse 16, it says, and he said, when ye do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Exodus 1:22 says, and Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. We need to realize that in the days of Moses, there was more and more and more Israelites being born. They were becoming a very strong nation. In fact, there were more Israelites than there were Egyptians. And Pharaoh says, wait a minute, hold the phone here. They're getting to be a strong nation, and if one of our enemies comes against us, they're going to join forces with them. They're going to overthrow us. We're going to be slaughtered. And that's it. Now, this is what we have to do. We have to start abortion. We have to start abortion. If there's a boy born, you are to kill it or throw it in the river. Wow. All the way back then. I mean, that was a long time ago. That was an awful long time ago. You know, what we need to realize is that God didn't like it back then at all. After all, what did He do to the Egyptians? Almost annihilated them because of their sin. And I believe that a lot of it had to do with all of the children that they killed over time. But you know, there were many babies in the Old Testament offered to a god called Moloch. Moloch was a false god. He's mentioned several times, either directly or indirectly, in the following verses in Leviticus 12, 21, chapter 20 and verse 2 through 5, 1 Kings 11, 4 to 7, 2 Kings 23, 10, 16, 3, 21, 6, 2 Chronicles 33, 4 to 6. Moloch was the primary god of the Amorites, but was worshipped by all nations in the Middle East, including Israel. Now, the worship of Moloch was very horrifying, to say the least. You know, the same would, what would happen is this. They would make a metal statue of this god, whatever it is, Moloch. And he had his hands out like this. The back was open. It was hollow. He was hollow inside. What they would do is they would build a fire inside of him. And they would get it so hot that he shined as the sun. That's how hot it was. He was red hot. Then they would take a baby and they would place it in his hands. Or they would throw it directly into the fire. Now, in order to cover the cries and the screams of the baby, they would have as many as 2,000 people beating drums all at the same time so that you could not hear the screams of the child. You may say, wow, that's awful. That's terrible. Yeah, it is. It is. And to think people actually took their unwanted children there to be destroyed in the name of religion. You know, throughout this performance, the drums kept beating with loud noises. Such barbarism was practiced to ensure happiness and well-being for the people who were participating. Now, in the United States, we don't have erected gods with altars we sacrifice our children upon. But what do we have? You know, what is the difference today from what it was back then? January 22nd, 1973, the United States Supreme Court ruled 4-2 in favor of legalizing abortion in Roe versus Wade. Children would once again be sacrificed, not upon a hollow statue, but upon the altar of a woman's right to choose. Their lives would be taken out of, not by fire, but by so-called medical instruments, all conducting and presiding over a new kind of high priest called the abortion doctor. The reason for such a practice is this: the pregnant woman may choose to terminate what is considered to be either a mistake, an inconvenience, or the results of an unfortunate situation. God said the fruit of the womb is His reward. In 2008, there was 825,000 abortions recorded to the Center for Disease. This has been called the American Holocaust. Is the Bible still true? Is it true today like it was when it was written? Is the Old Testament as true today as was back then? I read an article the other day, and it was of a young preacher. He's got a church of 1,000 people. And this is what he said. He said he took his Bible on YouTube and he ripped out the Old Testament and he threw it in the trash. He said there is zero use for the Old Testament in the church today. None. Zero. I'm thinking to myself, man alive, I preach more out of the Old Testament than I do the New Testament. You mean all my messages are wrong? He says, the Ten Commandments don't have to be followed because we're under grace, we're not under the law. You know what? I beg to differ. I really do. And I'm going to show you why. Aren't you glad? Exodus 20:13 says, thou shalt not kill. Big verse, thou shalt not kill. You know, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, that verse is pretty straightforward to me. You know, God does not want us to kill man, woman, child, or unborn children who He knows by name before they were ever conceived. You know, after the flood, God was very explicit with Noah. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, it says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Whoa! You know, God made it plain and simple to Noah that man should not kill man. Period. You know, people will say, well, preacher, that's all fine and dandy, but, you know, we're under the time of grace now, not under the law, and we don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments anymore. Wrong. Mark chapter 10, verse 19. Now, this is Jesus talking. Thou knowest the commands. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. Listen to me. Those commandments are just as much in effect today as they were when God gave them to Moses back on Mount Sinai. We're not to kill. We're not to steal. We're not to defraud. We're not to commit adultery. We're not to do all of the Big Ten. Amen? I'm wrong. What mistake did I just make? You're right. But he put one more in. Yep. Which one did he take out? The Sabbath. Which one did he put in? Love thy neighbor as thyself. That was the Tenth Commandment that he put back in. Listen, those are the big ten. And we need to understand that we have to obey them. You know, I get so upset with preachers who think that they can just pick and choose what they want to out of the Bible. You know, I don't like preaching a message like this, but guess what? It's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, I'm going to preach it. I went and I sent a copy of the message to a friend of mine. He emailed me back. He says, "You're not really going to preach that on Sunday, are you?" I said, "Yep, I sure am." Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. You know, so many times we think that we can get away with any sin that we want because we're under grace. And that's not the case. It's not the case. Listen, we are going to be judged for what we did or did not do at the judgment seat of Christ. Bema seat judgment. One day we're going to stand before Him and He's going to say, "Okay, what did you do for me?" There'll be a lot that aren't going to be able to say a whole lot. Matthew chapter 5. First book in the New Testament, Chuck. Got it? Starting in verse 21. You know, Jesus goes a little bit farther than "thou shalt not kill." "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Jesus said, not only shall you not kill, but you better not get angry with a brother without cause. Wow. You know, if Jesus was that way with his brothers, people who knew him, you know, what does he feel like when he sees the millions and millions and millions of babies that are killed every day? Now, I'm not just talking about the United States. I'm talking about worldwide. Think of the millions and millions and millions and millions of children that are destroyed every single day. Wow. China right now. 2 children. If a woman gets pregnant and you have 2 children, the 3rd one is immediately aborted. You can only have 2 children. This is not just a thing in the United States. This is worldwide. You know, what we need to realize is that Jesus was angry because people were saying bad things about their brothers. He said, "Let me tell you about it." Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. You know, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus says basically the same thing as what we're going to read here. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 14. Wait till Chuck gets there. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 14, it says, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the" what? "Kingdom of God." Whoa! Wait a minute. Hold it. Jesus got upset with the disciples. He got angry with the disciples. Why? Because they weren't letting the children come up to see him. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Whoa. You know, what we need to realize is this. Here's the disciples, and they're shoving these little kids away. They're throwing them out. They're boarding them away from God. Jesus, hold it! Hold it! Suffer the little children coming to me. You let those little kids come to me. Let's look at the next two verses. Verse 15, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Listen, if Jesus had that kind of compassion upon a bunch of snot-nosed little brats, you know what I mean? Just think what he has for the unborn that he knew before they were conceived. You know, we need to realize that Jesus loves children. He does. Just like he loves you and I. You know, there may be some of you today who will say, "Well, you're just pro-life." No, I'm not. I'm pro-God. Amen? You know, if he knew us from before we were conceived in our mother's womb, why do we feel that we have the right to destroy something that he had ordained to happen? You know, I really was upset when I heard about New York saying that up till birth, even if the child is coming out of the birth canal, it can be killed. Virginia said it could lay on the table and be killed. The governor of Virginia right now they've got him. Yeah, I don't know if you saw it on the news this morning, but they've got impeachment proceedings up against him. He was just elected governor. He just took over office the 1st of January, and now they have impeachment proceedings up against him. Even the Democrats are against him. How anybody can say that a baby who is already born can be killed? That's murder. That's murder. You know, think of Sarah for just a minute. For 90 years, she wanted a baby. 90 years. Then at the age of 90, God said, "Okay, you're going to have a child." What did she do? She laughed. I think I probably would too. You mean to tell me you're going to have a child? You know what I mean? But yes, she did. She had a child at 90 years old. You know, maybe you're here and you've never been born again. What do you mean by being born again? Well, Jesus talked to a guy by the name of Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 4, it says, "Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Oh, he had it all wrong. He had no idea what Jesus was even talking about. Jesus wasn't talking about a physical birth, was he? He was talking about a spiritual birth. He was talking about being born again. All of us had our physical birthday. I just had mine Friday. You know, all of us have a physical birthday. How many of you know what your spiritual birthday was? Fantastic. I know exactly date and time when I got saved. And believe me, it was a long time ago. June 9th, 1962. Most of you weren't even born yet. Been born again longer than you've been physically born. But just think for a moment where we'd be if God aborted us from being born again. Whoa. There wouldn't be one of us in here that could have eternal life. You know, I'll tell you what. There's no greater joy than to know for sure that if you were to close your eyes in death, you'd open your eyes at Jesus' feet. Boy, I'll tell you what, I can hardly wait for that. I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, oh, man, one of these days I'm going to be up in heaven, and there's Jesus. I'm going to be at his feet, and he's going to look at me and go, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful to the end. I'm going, wow. Hey, that's going to be great. That's going to be fantastic. I can hardly wait. But you know what? There's still work to be done. There's still work to be done. We need to take and we need to be proactive with our legislators, with our congressmen. You know, I'll be honest with you, I just praise the Lord for the president and vice president we have right now. I was watching the tweets that President Trump had after New York came up with this idea. And he said, every life is by God and has a right to live. He tweeted this morning, it was really kind of neat. He says, any child that's born in the United States is a United States citizen. So if a child is killed outside the womb after it's born, it's murder. Not only can the person who commits the death be charged with murder, but the mother and anyone who is in that room can be charged with murder or conspiracy for murder. And man, I'll tell you what, it's great. You know, I was watching the news and they're protesting this dolphin that died up in Phoenix, okay, at the aquarium up there. They had a dolphin die. And they've got protesters all up there, up and down, with signs, you know, close the place down, this and that and everything else. How many of them same people are at an abortion clinic marching with signs, not a one? Animals and... Yeah. You know, the thing of it is, in our society, animals have become more important than human beings. Animals have become more important than God's creation. Yeah, God created animals too, but he created man to have what? Dominion over the animals. Not to be equal with them. We need to remember that we as Christians have an obligation. And I'll be honest with you, I have never been real political. I never have, you know what I mean? I have my political views and stuff, and I've kind of kept them to myself a little bit. Not all the time, but a little bit. And but this next election in 2020, I'm going to be proactive. I am, because I'll tell you what, we are going to have to, as Christians, start now planning for the 2020 election. You know, if we don't, I guarantee that we're going to be a lost country real fast. So, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your love. And Father, I just pray now that you'd help us to always remember that birth and conception are all ordained by you. But the greatest thing is the life that we have, which is eternal. Father, I just pray now that you would be with the invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die right now that I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is anyone like that, quickly, quietly? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, you know, I haven't been as active as what I should be in local, state, and national politics. But I'm going to pray daily for my leaders. If that's you, I want to pray for you that you might be able to do that. Is there anyone like that? Just quickly, oh, hands over there. Thank you so much. God bless you. Father, you've seen the hands. You know our hearts. And I thank you for the decisions that were made today. Father, so many times we don't do exactly what we say we're going to do, but I just pray for these now that have raised their hand that they're going to pray for our government leaders on a daily basis. Our leaders need prayer more than ever right now. And I just pray, Lord, that you take and guide them, direct them, be with our president, our vice president, be with the Christians who are in Congress. Help them, Father, to make good, godly decisions. Father, I just pray now that you'll be with us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's all stand, turn our hymnal number 535. 535.